we doing, everybody? And welcome into Wisconsin Sports on the Go with Trage. I'm your host, Trage. It is Tuesday, May 21st. A fantastic Tuesday in here in the great state of Wisconsin, weather permitting, right? Weather permitting, depending on where you are right now, depending on when you're listening to the show here. I mean, they're talking some severe weather moving into the state of Wisconsin here later this afternoon. Sounds like in some areas it could be pretty dangerous, so keep an eye. I mean, if you're listening to this early in the morning, keep an eye on the weather coming up later today. Just keep yourself safe, everything like that. Just keep an eye on it, because they're talking that it could get severe, and we could see some possible tornadoes in the state of Wisconsin. Not good stuff. Not good stuff there. It's like, come on. I mean, they told me, right, the old running joke, if you want to stay safe, go to Minneapolis. There hasn't been a touchdown there in years, right? I mean, come on. Come on, right? Come on. I mean, no, but either way, state of Wisconsin is under severe weather watch for the day. So be careful out there. If you are out and about on the roads, whatever it is, stay safe out there. We love you here on the show, and we love you listening. So with that, let's talk about today. Brewers, we got to get into the Brewers. They lost to the Marlins. The Miami Marlins of all teams last night there. I want to look at that game. I want to look at the game coming up here today. Also, I want to look at, like I said yesterday, I want to talk Packers. I want to talk the NFC North schedules. I want to talk about the release of that, where everything's sitting. And then we're kind of just going to see where the day takes us. I've seen some articles out there that I wanted to get into and kind of just my opinion on things, right? There's some controversial topics going on around the sporting world, and you've heard a lot of opinions on them. I want to give my opinion, because what would I be if I didn't give my opinion like everybody else does, right? So I got to do it. I got to do it today. So lots of good stuff happening on the show today. But right away, I want to look at the Brewers. We saw the Brewers last night. It started out well, right? It started out well to a point. Weathers pitched a pretty good game for the Marlins, right? 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned, or 2 runs, 1 earned in this game here, 8 strikeouts. Monasterio hit that home run against him. Outside of that, the Brewers got nothing. Nothing going against Weathers there. And that has been a trend for the Brewers this season. The Brewers don't hit good against lefties. They don't. It is just, I don't know what it is, why the Brewers cannot figure out lefties, why it's been this way for a very long time. But the Brewers, for some reason out there, cannot figure out how to hit lefties. And it is one of those, you just wish at some point here they could figure something out. And I don't know. I don't know. You know, I was looking at the stats today against lefties, against righties. 37 games, 284 at-bats against lefties there, 61 hits, 7 doubles, 14 home runs, 47 RBIs, but you look at the average, 215, a 215 average against lefties there. Not a lot of at-bats, so small sample size, but in that small sample size, not a whole lot happening at that 215 average, so not great stuff. The Brewers have got to find ways to hit left-handed pitching. Be productive against left-handers, and they have struggled so far. I mean, look at the difference there with righties. Yes, they've faced them a boatload more, 1,332 at-bats there, but a 264 average for them there against righties. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is with this Brewers team and why there is such a difference for them. You know, hitting with lefties and righties on the mound. They go to this like Pat Murphy did yesterday with that lineup. He went with more of the right-handed approach, right? The only lefty, I believe, in the lineup there was Yelich. Yeah, Yelich was the one lefty in the lineup for the Brewers. Outside of that, all righties. So you think, you know, righty-lefty matchups, that's supposed to be the key. Once again, it proved not to be the key. It proved to be an issue for the Brewers there, trying to string together runs. And that happens to be some of your bigger bats in your lineup couldn't figure it out in this game against Weathers. I mean, just looking through the lineup for the Brewers. Contreras in the leadoff spot, 0 for 5. Then we saw Yelich, 0 for 3. He did draw 2 walks there, scored a run on that stolen base. That was That was one of the, it was, I saw a stat, I believe it was the first straight steal of home since like 2003. Yeah, first straight steal of home since Scott Pozenki did it in 2003. So that's crazy. That's crazy in its own right there. But I mean, so Yelich steals home. He scores a run for the Brewers. Outside of that, two walks. And then we saw Joey Ortiz in there. 0 for 1, two walks, strikeout. Getting on base, right? He had a hit by pitch in there too. Getting on base for the Brewers. But once again, hits were at a premium. You're hitting. What's the crazy part in this entire thing? The Marlins pitching staff is not very good. It's comparable to the Brewers pitching staff, right? And the bullpen for the Marlins is comparable to the Brewers bullpen, right? And the Brewers were held to four hits in this game. You look at your bottom half of the lineup. So we saw Adames. He went 0 for 5. That is alarming how fast Adames is dropping off here for the Brewers. Gary Sanchez 0 for 5. Jackson Chourill 0 for 3. Monasterio, a big game for Monasterio. And that was great to see Andrew Monasterio starting to get it going at the plate. 2 for 4 in this one. He did have that hit. He did have that solo home run there for him in this one. 2 for 4. Owen Miller 1 for 3. And then Bowers came in pinch hit. He was 1 for 1 in the game. Joey Weimer 0 for 3. Perkins had a walk in his one at bat there. We did see Terang late. I mean, 11 strikeouts. You look at the 11 strikeouts. Six walks, 11 strikeouts on the game. The 11 strikeouts, still alarming for this Brewers team. A little bit higher on the strikeout rate. Looking at the Brewers lineup, I mean, I tell you what, I don't think Terang needs a day off. I don't think Terang needs to be out when you have a left-hander on the mound. Right now, if there's a guy in this lineup who needs a day off, a refresher to get himself back and hopefully going, Willy Adames. Slide Terang over to short. Put Monasterio at second base. Put Joey Ortiz at third. Call that your infield for a game, right? Give Willy Adames a day off. He can have a day off, right? I know his glove is good, right? It's a good glove. But Bryce Terang's got a good glove. Joey Ortiz, solid at third. And Monasterio can play a fine second base for a game. Willy Adames has been scuffling for a week now. Give him a day off. Let him have a day off, get rested, then bring him back, right? But right now, you know, you keep interchanging Sal Frelick in and out, and you keep interchanging Bryce Terang in and out. I get you don't want to give some of your bigger bats a day off, but this is a guy right now who's hitting 232 for you. He's 0 for 5 in this one. He's been 0 for the past couple games here, and I'm pretty sure if we look at his stats over the last seven games, he has got three hits in the last seven games. He's hitting 100. In the last 15 games, he has 10 hits, 10 for 61, a 164 average. Last 30 games, 192, 23 hits in 120 at-bats. He has been scuffling. Give him a day off and then bring him back and see what happens, right? Give the guy a day off so he can relax, get his feet back under him, whatever it is, then put him back out there. I don't get it with Willy Adames there. Another thing, coming out of last night's game, I understand that, you know, you're trying to do this righty matchup, so Sal Frelick was not in the game. He did not start the game. But late in the game there, I want my best defensive outfield that I could possibly have in the game, right? Yelich is in left. He's staying in. You bring Perkins into the game. Perkins is out there in center. When it's the bottom of the ninth, put Sal Frelick in right field. I get Jackson Chourill has got speed and he's got some talent out there and whatever you want to say. I still trust Sal Frelick in the outfield over. I trust Sal Frelick as much as I trust Christian Yelich. I trust Sal Frelick as much as I trust Blake Perkins. I don't trust Jackson Chourill as much as I trust any of those three other guys. I don't trust Jackson Chourill as much as I trust Joey Weimer out in the outfield. That's just where it's at right now. He's young. And he still has some growing to do in that outfield. He makes me nervous. I'm going to be honest with you. Jackson Chourill makes me nervous in the outfield on some of these misjudging balls. Now, I'm not going to say Sal Frelick hasn't misjudged a ball. I watched him misjudge a liner earlier this year. Liners are tough, right? You're going to run into some hit balls that are tough. But that little blooper, right? And I don't get what you're trying to do. Because if that ball drops, the run scores, right? If he catches that ball, game's over. If that ball drops, the run scores. If he dives and he misses it, and he gets back up and he grabs it, worst case scenario, runner on second. Worst case scenario. It ended up being that anyways. I just don't get it. I don't get why you don't at least put, you know, the dive. He got within diving distance of that ball. And if I will argue that. I can rewatch that thing 45 times, and I can tell you he pulled up. I don't understand it. I get he was playing deep. Whatever. I get that. But man, oh man, that ball hung for a while. That ball hung up there for a while. And I tell you what, if Sal was out there, I give it a 50% shot that he's going to catch it. I really do. If he dives out, I got a 50%, maybe even a little bit, maybe even more than that. But you got to put it on the line in a position like that, right? Trevor McGill gave you it was a pop-up. It was a pop-up middle of the outfield, right? In between everybody. But, God, man, that sucked. That sucked. That really did. And then, I mean, not to mention the Brewers' bullpen was taxed. We went to too many good relievers early on in that game simply because Joe Ross, back tightness, back was sore. He had to get pulled out of that game early, which led to having to pitch guys like Koenig and bringing in guys like Piumps and Milner, Paguero, and McGill early on, Hudson. Even early on in that game, which then led to Mitch White having to come in that 10th inning. Now, it's hard to say that Mitch White pitched that bad because Mitch White, all he did was two intentional walks, right? Runner on second base, they intentionally walked, and they, you know, ended up intentionally walking again after the bunt, right? After the bunt. And that ended up loading up the bases then for Josh Bell. So you can't really say he gave up one hit in that appearance. And it was, I mean, it was a hard hit ball by Josh Bell. But maybe if the infield is playing normal depth, maybe it changes that outcome of that play, right? But either way, it's a base hit. A base hit's a base hit. You can't take anything away from Josh Bell. He did what he had to do to get the win for the Marlins there and just put the ball in play and make something happen. But the taxing of the bullpen led to now we have, this is our option, right? This is our one guy we have left, basically, in our bullpen there. Because we used how many? I mean, 2, 4, 6, 7 bullpen guys in this game. Which then leads you into a problem for the next day there. So the Joel Ross, one inning, one hit, one walk appearance. It's turning out to be a bad thing for this Brewers team. They didn't use Blaylock. Right, didn't want to put him in there for his major league debut right away. I believe he's just getting to the club there from Biloxi on his way up. Probably didn't expect the call, right? So I believe he was with the club, but he did not get in to this game here. But I mean, the bullpen, they pitched well. I thought the bullpen pitched fantastic. Koenig, 2 2/3, a hit, one walk. We saw Piumps for an inning and a third there with one strikeout. Great to see Piumps bounce back. Milner for an inning and a third, one run, one earned, and a walk for him. Paguero, 2/3 of an inning, one hit, and one walk. And then we saw Brian Hudson for an inning there, and he got himself into some trouble. But then we saw the Brian Hudson that we've been watching all season long here. And this guy's fantastic. And he just started dotting stuff up. That fastball is electric. It has a lot to do with that delivery. He jumps at you. He jumps at you, and it really disrupts hitters. And, I mean, that makes that 93 look like it's even faster, right? Because he's launching. He's lunging at you when he throws. It is, I mean, the second he threw on a Brewers uniform, his career and his path just changed. And now he is turning into a dominant reliever for the Brewers there. So good stuff there out of Hudson. And then McGill, I mean, an inning there, two hits, one earned run for him, a strikeout. McGill didn't have his best stuff, but still pitched a solid inning. Still pitched a solid inning in that one earned run against him. There is the controversial one where I just said maybe a diving play could have been made or at least attempted on, right? And I don't know. This game was a tough one. This is a tough one because, you know, you had the 2-0 lead there for a majority of this one. Then the Marlins ended up putting up that run in the bottom of the 7th. And then you had that 2-1 lead going to the bottom of the 9th. You're holding the Marlins pretty steady there, and then they were able to push across that run. Top half of the 10th, the Brewers once again just second and third, one out, couldn't push anything. Couldn't push anything across. That's a killer. That's a killer. Joey Ortiz moves him over, gets him second and third, one out there, and then you have Adames coming up, and you have Sanchez coming up. Almost makes you think you should have let Joey Ortiz just swing away. You should have ran a double steal with Bryce Terang and Yelich, prayed that they both got there, and then let Joey Ortiz hit away. Because after that, you had two guys in Adames and Sanchez who have scuffled this year, and especially as of late here, getting going. So, I don't know. It is a tough, that was a tough game, tough pill to swallow for the Brewers there, and having to bounce back here to try and salvage a game two to, I mean, hopefully win the series here in three. But, I mean, like I said, bullpen for the Brewers, they pitched well. I thought the bullpen pitched well for the Brewers in this one. I mean, you had a couple runs scattered throughout there, like I said, between McGill and having a guy, Milner, giving up that earned run there. But then, you know, Mitch White giving up that basically unearned run in that top half or the bottom half of the 10th there. Not a bad day. Not a bad day for the pitching staff for the Brewers. The offense just couldn't get it going once again against lefties. And that is continuing to be a problem for the Brewers. And they need to address that big standpoint. Because teams are throwing lefty after lefty. It seems like lefties are becoming more, I mean, throughout the league. Tomorrow you're going to face Rodgers for the Marlins there. Another lefty, Trevor Rodgers, pitching for the Marlins. A lefty coming out of there with the 5.79 ERA there. What tells you that the Brewers can figure out Trevor Rodgers there? And then you head into that Wednesday game, and I'm pretty darn sure, if I'm not mistaken, Lizardo, another lefty. You're going to have 3 days of lefties here. Something has got to give, right? Something has got to give. And I don't care. I am sick of the matchup crapola. Bryce Terang's batting 314. He's one of the best hitters in this lineup right now. The dude needs to be in there. I don't care if it's a righty, lefty, if it's ambidextrous pitcher in there. You put him out there. That's just got to be it. And I'm not sure, you know, everybody's going to say, you know, you're a couch coach, right? You're a couch coach. No. I look at statistics. I look at guys who are producing and getting on base for you in every situation. And I'm telling you right now, that guy in Bryce Terang is doing his job night in and night out. Getting on base in the leadoff spot, walking, stealing bases. The dude is on fire to start the year. And yet we bench him for a game against a lefty because we're trying to play a matchup. Now, the guy you benched him for, Monasterio, played well, right? He played well. So you can't really knock it completely. But then move him over to short. Let Adames have a day off, right? That's something that needs to happen. Because Adames, I really do think that the Brewers believe deep down that they can sign Adames. Why? Explain to me why you need Willy Adames. That's the thing that and this is not me trying to say that I don't like Willy Adames. And I don't wish that Willy Adames would find that stroke and find that bat. I wish he would, right? I wish that Joey Weimer could figure it out. Because I like Joey Weimer. I love Keston Hira. I'll be honest with you, I love that guy, right? And couldn't figure it out. I had to accept that he was going to be the Barry Bonds of AAA for the rest of his life, and that was just going to be how it was, right? And Willy Adames, I love the way Willy Adames plays the game. It's just the inconsistent bat. Now, you look at it, and you have guys, Joey Ortiz. You have Bryce Terang. You have Cooper Pratt coming up through, right? You have Andrew Monasterio in the ranks already. And now you're going to have, coming up through the minor league system, you're going to have guys like Mike Bovee. You're going to have Brock Wilken. And you have Tyler Black. Now, Tyler Black's a first baseman, so he's a little bit out of the picture on that one. But my point is, on the infield side, you have a lot of talent who are knocking at the door, right? Mike Bovee is still, that dude is in, just unreal every stop that he's made so far. I believe he's up right now currently at the AA level. I could be mistaken. No, he's. I am pretty darn sure he's a double A level because he was hitting like 545 in high A. Now he's up at that double A level, and Mike Bovey is hitting 311 down there. Every stop that Mike Bovey makes, Mike Bovey hits, right? So pretty darn soon, he's going to be up at the AAA level. And then we're going to be talking about this guy potentially being up at the AAA and then potentially being like knocking on the door for that big league spot. You also have the guy who was drafted at the same time, Brock Wilkin, who is actually a higher-ranked prospect, coming back after an injury to start the year where he, I mean, took a ball off the face, right? He's coming back. Hitting 200 right now, but you got to expect that this guy is going to slowly work his way up through that ranking. So what I'm saying is that the position need for him is slowly dwindling, right? Because you're going to have to find spots for Joey Ortiz. You're going to have that spot for Bryce Terang. So Willy Adames is that odd man out in that situation. I want to see Bryce Terang at short a little bit, right? If you are not going to keep, and, you know, this is where we're going to see. If Willy Adames is going to be in the fold at shortstop for the next three years, whatever it is, okay, fine. Then let him run it at short. But if he is not going to be in that future plan, if you are planning on this, getting as many bites at the apple as you could possibly can, right? Willy Adames is going to be traded at some point. Either that or they're going to ride it out and he's probably going to walk away for bigger money elsewhere. If that happens, Bryce Terang has to be ready for shortstop, right? That is going to be most likely his spot. If I had to pick, just because I know Joey Ortiz also plays short, but if I had to pick between those two guys, who's going to be my shortstop, Bryce Terang takes the cake. That dude is a fantastic infielder. So you have a fantastic infielder take the spot. Now I want to see him there. So give Willie some off days. Put Terang over there. I don't need to see all this righty-lefty bullhooky matchups that we keep trying to pull out there. If you are hitting, you're in there. That's just how it has to be. When it comes down to playoffs, when it comes to the playoffs, nobody's going to care, right? If it's a lefty on the mound, if it's a righty on the mound, we're going to see the best hitters that the Brewers possibly have, the best lineup rolled out there, right? That's what has to happen. Doesn't matter if you're the Dodgers, if you're the Diamondbacks, if you're the Brewers, it doesn't matter. You're going to see the best lineups rolled out there. So I don't get why right now you don't have your best hitter in Bryce Terang in the lineup. I don't get it. That's the guy right now, 314 average, been hitting the cover off the ball all season long. If you give him an off day, fine, but don't give me the bullhooky of a righty-lefty matchup. I don't want that. I want Bryce Terang in there because I want him to figure out left-handed pitching, right? The more you avoid it when you get to playoffs, the more it's a problem, right? I want to see these guys, you know, especially the younger guys, get experience against the righties, but also get that experience against the lefties too. So when it comes around, these guys can figure out how to hit there. So, I mean, that's where I'm at right now with the Brewers and everything we're seeing right there with this Brewers team. I mean, it's going to be interesting. They have that game coming up tonight here, heading against the Miami Marlins. That'll be a 5:40 start for that one. Gasser on the mound for the Brewers. Taking on Trevor Rogers for the Marlins there. Should be a good matchup. I mean, Gasser, hopefully we see a little bit more magic out of Gasser. He has been pitching great to start this season here. And I want nothing more than a Paul Skeens-Gasser matchup sometime here in the regular season. That would be great. That would be great. Two rookie pitchers, and especially if Gasser keeps on the trajectory that he's on, two rookie pitchers who are pitching fantastic in the NL Central squaring off in a matchup, that would be great. That'd be great stuff right there. So with that, that's about all I got for the Brewers. I mean, that's all I want to talk about there. I want to get to some sponsors of the show here quick before we move on. First, Game Day Supply in Onalaska. Do you have a sports club or team? Are you looking for some sweet custom uniforms or apparel? Check out the awesome crew at Game Day Supply in Onalaska to help your team get the sweetest gear. Find them on Facebook at Game Day Supply or online at GameDaySupply.net. Also, your hometown team, Century 21 Gold Key Realty. Call Peggy, Sue, or Anna to find your dream home or if you're looking to sell. Find them on Facebook at your hometown team, Century 21 Gold Key Realty, or stop in and see them at their location in Marshfield. Also, Marshfield Motor Speedways, located just 3 miles outside of Marshfield on County Road H. Stop in there this summer for some great family fun for all ages. Great food, great drinks, great atmosphere. That's all you can ask for in a great summer day and night down there at the track. Find the schedule on Facebook or online. Just search Marshfield Motor Speedways. Otherwise, go to my Facebook page. I shared the schedule on there. Just look up Wisconsin Sports on the Go with Trage. Also, Sport and Spine Clinic in Greenwood, Wisconsin. If you've been injured recently and you need some physical therapy, stop in there and see Chad at Sport and Spine Clinic in Greenwood, Wisconsin. He will get you right. He'll get you back to work, back on the court, back on the field. Whatever you got injured doing, he'll get you back there. Sport and Spine Clinic in Greenwood, Wisconsin. Also, Sports Scene, Sports Cards, and Memorabilia. Stop in there in the Marshfield Mall and see Al. He has everything you need, from sporting cars to jerseys, model stock cars, whatever you need. He's got it down there. Sports Scene in Marshfield, and also Pittsfield Farm and Home Center. At the store, they serve you anything from hydraulic hoses to red roses. Stop in and see the awesome crew at Pittsfield Farm and Home Center in Pittsfield, Wisconsin there. All right, and next up here on the show, I wanted to get to the NFC North. I told you guys yesterday I had to get to this because Bears fans were driving me nuts. Lions fans were throwing me to the wall and everything else in between. And Vikings fans, well, they know they're going to suck. So they're going to get over it here. But I had to get brutally honest today. We had to get brutally honest with these takes here. So I had to bring in the man himself. The man himself off of Brutally Honest Sports. I got Aaron here. Aaron, how we doing? How we doing? It's a Tuesday. It's a good Tuesday. It's a good Tuesday. How we doing today?
Can't complain, man. I'm happy to be here. Usually it's like you're coming on my show, so I feel honored to be on the, what is it? I'm not going to try and say it. Interesting division we'll get into. Like this is always an interesting division to me. So with your beloved Packers, we'll definitely dive in and see where some of these teams shake out. I'm a little curious to see that myself.
He's a Philly fan, so he can't wait for week one matchup with the Green Bay Packers. That's what we're all waiting for right there. There's a little week one in Brazil down there. But, hey, we got to get in the NFC North. Let's talk about the NFC North. And I want to look at the Lions first, right? This is the team coming off the NFC North. They won the division last year, made it all the way to that NFC Championship game. And then, well, we know what happened. I don't know if you blame it all on Dan Campbell, but he made some questionable decisions along the way, and they ended up blowing the lead. 49ers go to Super Bowl, and thank goodness for the Swifties. They took care of the 49ers then. I'm not a big fan of the 49ers. They've dropped my Packers a couple times in the playoffs. I can't be a fan of them. So I mean, we're looking at the Lions schedule, and favorable, not really. They got some tough sledding going on in here. I mean, you open up, so we're going to go probably four games at a time here. Make it easier on ourselves. Four games at a time. So opening up there, they're going to have Los Angeles Rams. So that's going to be a tough matchup in its own right. That's going to be a Sunday night game right away to start. It's going to be in Detroit. So that's going to help them out there. But you have a healthy Stafford coming back. You have Puka Nacua. You have Cooper Kupp. I mean, you don't have to deal with Aaron Donald anymore, but that's still a pretty good team led by Sean McVay. And then you have Tampa Bay Buccaneers right after that. Baker Mayfield coming back. We saw what he did last year. That's a solid roster. The Cardinals, I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of the Cardinals. A healthy Kyler Murray this year. Maybe that changes the tide a little bit now with Marvin Harrison into the fold. I don't know. And then you have Seattle. They could be a juggernaut. I really do think Seattle could be a juggernaut team this year. They might surprise a lot of people. I really do think. Geno Smith has put together a pretty good run in Seattle. Not what I expected. I expected him to kind of blow up. He's never really been that main starter. And now he's kind of solidified his role there in Seattle. So, I mean, to me, when I look at these first four games for Detroit, I could see a loss. I really could. I don't know if it's going to be the Rams, but I could see Tampa stealing one. I really could. I could see Tampa stealing one just because they're going to have that edge coming off of last season when they went up to Detroit and lost. Now they go back to Detroit again here week two. Maybe they steal a game there. I'm seeing a 3-1 start here for the Detroit Lions. I don't know. What are you seeing right now? First four games there before the bye week. Where are you leaning right now with Detroit?
Yeah, no, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with a lot of that. I think, I mean, the NFL, you know, the NFL loved to put that that Rams Lions game week one. Like, that was just one of those, okay, here's for the ratings. Like, Stafford, like, there's a storyline, obviously, Stafford going back to Detroit, you know, been there most of his career up until, you know, that obviously that big trade they did. So that's one they circle on the, you know, it's a primetime game. That just makes sense. I think just for the sake of, like, you know, the way I'm going to look at that is it'll be a close game. Like, I think they played each other last season, and it was a close game. Like, it was like a 1-point game or something, 3-point game. So 1 to 3 points, I think that's what you'll see that spread come in at and probably stay right around there. I think the Lions, I give them the benefit of the doubt at home. They pull that out. Tampa, that one, once again, like, I agree with you. I think that can go either way. That can shake out in whoever's favor there. I mean, Detroit's defense, I still don't absolutely love it, but there's pieces to it I do like. So can they just kind of slow down Mike Evans and the rest of the crew? You hope so, but for their sake. But that is a toss-up too. So I could see that being a loss. Maybe I'll lean that way too. I don't know if I'll be as bullish on the Cardinals as you are. They might be better, but I still think they're putrid in the grand scheme of things, which is okay with me. I mean, Gannon cost the Eagles that Super Bowl, if you're asking me. So I can't really root for that guy. I just can't. And then Seattle, Seattle at home, I give the edge to the Lions. So I'm probably sitting right there at 3-1. I do think that is a winnable game against for the Seahawks. So worst case 2-2, best case 3-1. I don't think they go 4-0. One of those games trips them up. It could even be that Seattle game. Like, maybe they get past Tampa, lose to Seattle. But yeah, 3-1. I almost even want to say maybe like a 2-2. Maybe they get off to a little bit of a slow start, but I don't know. They really do play for Dan Campbell. I'll give them that. Like, they go hard for their coach. So.
Oh, 100%. Dan Campbell has really turned around the Lions. He has made them a team you don't want to face. You don't want to see them in the playoffs because they're going to be gritty in the playoffs just like they were week one. Like, there is no quit in the Lions, and that's something that the defense carries over for them. They don't have the stellar playmakers on that defense. You know, they got some, like, Hutchinson off the edge, right? They have some playmakers, but it's not like it's a stout defense, right? There's holes in it. There's not all stars all the way around. Yet, they still find a way to put teams away. That's something that you got to love about Dan Campbell's team. So that's through the first four. Then they have that bye week in week five. Then comes the rough. This could be a rough part of the schedule. You have Dallas. You never know what to expect with Dallas, right? I mean, last year, they had a controversial game last year. They had that 2-point conversion, and that they tried for the 2-point conversion twice, failed, and it's like, just kick the extra point and just get the points. Like, come on here, go to overtime, but tried it a third time, didn't get in. So you got Dallas, then you face Minnesota. Now, a lot of people hate on Minnesota. I hate Minnesota myself. I'm a Packer fan. I hate Minnesota, but they got Aaron Jones now. They are going to have a healthy Justin Jefferson. They have Addison. They have TJ Hockenson. JJ McCarthy has just got to be average. He's just got to be what he was for the Michigan Wolverines. That's what he has to do for the Vikings. And they could be a solid team. I'm not going to say they're going to be good. I'm not going to say they're going to win the division. I'm not going to say that they're going to make the playoffs. But I could see this Vikings team being a very stingy, tough team to put away. I don't know if you see the same thing with them. I, like I said, don't like the Vikings. I hate that I'm even boasting them up at all right now. But when I look at this Vikings team, it's just like a lot of people, I mean, Bears fans, Vikings fans, or every fan really, is like, this team is going to be a wash this year. I could see them being a trouble. Like, you don't want to see, you want to play them, but you don't, right? It's one of those teams that's like, if you take them lightly, they might be able to take you out.
That's very fair. Yeah, I, goodness sakes, man. Like, I really cannot stand Michigan. So, like, anybody that comes from, I mean, the Eagles got Brandon Graham, which was a blessing, but like, JJ McCarthy coming into the league, like, I do not want to see this guy succeed whatsoever. Now, will he succeed? There's always like that. Do you want him to, but will he? Like, I think he plays decently well. Like, I have my question marks because we've seen a lot of Big Ten quarterbacks kind of struggle. at the next level. I'm 1 foot in, 1 foot out on McCarthy. Like, I think he has the intangibles to do it. Like, he's a smart kid. He can probably learn to read a defense. You know, there's now people are, I mean, that now people on the flip side of the coin making the argument like, oh, watch this be the next Tom Brady. Like, all right, calm down. Like, just because he went to Michigan, just because he, you know, had success at Michigan doesn't mean like that. That's kind of one in a generation. Like, Mahomes is the Brady of right now. You know what I mean? If there's anybody yep. close. So could he be a above average game manager? Probably. Maybe like could he even be as good as Kirk Cousins? We just don't
I was
know.
Just about to say Kirk Cousins. That is what clicks to my mind when I think of McCarthy's game. I think of Kirk Cousins, like almost identical ways, except for McCarthy might be able to get out of the pocket a little bit more. But outside of that, it's like identical.
Right. Yeah. I almost look at McCarthy as kind of like a Baker to me. Like, I think he's going to be a scrappy guy, you know, a guy that's going to escape the rush. Like, he's a guy that just talks trash. Like, he's not your stereotypical like Peyton Manning of a quarterback. Like, he's kind of like a hothead. He's a little bit out there. So, I mean, man, I don't know. Like you said, you make a lot of good points on the fact that, like, with the supporting cast the Vikings have, as long as he's average to above average, they're probably going to be a competitive team, at the very least, maybe like a 500 team. I don't know a ton about their defense. I can't remember if it's awful or if it's okay. I remember 1 year it was awful, and then I feel like they have their pieces. But, and it's a division game, man. Like, I'm big on the fact that, like, the Eagles will play the Commanders. They usually give us a run for the money. They just do. It doesn't matter. They could have 4 wins on the season, 7 wins, 10 wins. They could be the best team in the division. They're going to play us hard. Like, it's these division games, there's something to that. So that could be a competitive game. I mean, even that could be a loss. I mean, you're playing at Minnesota, a place that's, you know, very loud. So, yeah, it's a blessing for McCarthy to have a guy like Hockenson, who's the best receiver in football? I'm drawing a blank.
Jefferson.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
yep.
He's got to have the best situation, I think, of any of these quarterbacks. I mean, people are making the argument Caleb Williams does. I just, Chicago's always kind of a dumpster fire. So I don't know. I think McCarthy has the best situation he's walking into.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and even a guy like Aaron Jones. You talk about him. He worked with Aaron Rodgers. Now with when he was with Jordan Love, I thought Jordan Love looked 10 times better with Aaron Jones on the field. I think he just adds that stability in there, you know, kind of calms everybody down, keeps it all going there. So we got Dallas, Minnesota, then Tennessee. That, I believe, you know, I don't have high hopes on Tennessee. Will Levis, I love the mayo and the coffee thing. Like, that kind of, like, it's a weird thing that just gets me excited, right? So, I mean, I don't hate the guy. I would love to see Will Levis do something in Tennessee. I don't know if it's going to be this year. They still don't have the supporting cast for him. The Green Bay game at Green Bay, that could be a tough one. You're going to Lambeau. Jared Goff does not play good outside of a dome. You're heading to Lambeau Field. That's bad. That's trouble for Jared Goff right there. So you got that game at Green Bay, and then you're looking ahead. If you look ahead a week, you're playing a dangerous game looking ahead, but you got to go down to Houston. So you go back-to-back weeks playing. If Jordan Love, now, like, as a Packer fan, I'm telling you, I'm hoping and praying that Jordan Love continues what he did last season there at the end. But then you have C.J. Stroud the week after, and that dude was balling out last year there. So you go Dallas to Minnesota, and then so you're on the road for a majority of these games here in this stretch. Dallas to Minnesota, then the Titans sandwich in there, followed by the Packers and Houston. This is where I think the Lions run into trouble. This is where I really do think they do. Green Bay at Green Bay is going to be tough. I think they take a loss at Green Bay, and I also think they take a loss at Houston, just because going into NRG and playing that Texans team who, I mean, if Stephon Diggs, if they can settle him down and they can put, you know, I don't know if they can, but if they can settle him down and get him to work with CJ, get him to work with Nico Collins and not worry about his own, you know, workload and catches and everything like that, that is going to be the most dangerous receiver core out there. Because Nico Collins was blowing it up last year, and he came out of nowhere. And then you add on top of that Tank Dell was one of the best rookie wide receivers last year, and if he didn't get injured, the Texans might have put a little bit more of a run on in the playoffs. They lost to one of their best receivers. You also have Dalton Schultz coming back. That's a very good Houston team. So I look at that stretch right there, and I could see three losses. I really could. The Dallas at Dallas, you have to go to Minnesota. Like you said, that's a hostile environment. I still think they win that game, but you got to go down to Dallas, and then you have to go to Green Bay and to Houston. That's a tough stretch of games. I think this is where they run into the most problems, and they lose three games in there.
Yeah, yeah, that Dallas-Detroit game, like to me, on almost on paper, it's like, it's a coin toss to me. Like that. The fact they're playing in Dallas, like Dallas usually does play a lot better in their own building. It seems like, I don't know, the numbers might not tell you that, but eye test, or at least my memory serves me right. It's a little bit harder to beat Dallas in Dallas outside of the playoffs. I mean, you catch Dallas in the playoffs, you can chalk that up to a win. I mean, anybody can beat Dallas in the playoffs. We know that right now. Since you've been born. I mean, they just haven't been able to get it done in the playoffs. So regular season, they're usually a stout regular season team. I'd maybe even lean Dallas. After that debacle, that offensive lineman checking in, not checking in, that was the Dallas game. I'm sure Dan Campbell's going to have just beaten the bulletin board full of material for that game. But I don't know. I'd probably give the edge to Dallas, but like I said, that's a coin toss. So at Minnesota, I also could see that being a win. I'd love to see what this Minnesota team is by then, week seven. I mean, maybe they're 3-4, 4-3, you know, somewhere around there. But I think if you're Detroit, you got to take that one because, like you said, I mean, going to Lambeau Field, never easy. I mean, it's a 4 o'clock game, so at least it's not, you know, late for them because, I mean, as you know, that place is the frozen tundra for a reason.
It's the frozen tundra down there.
early November. I mean, you're talking November 3rd. So, I mean, it's probably going to be frigid. And then at the Texans, who I don't really think will take a step back. I mean, they have a lot of money in cap space still. I don't know how all these players are going to shake out, but that offense I have trust in obviously Stroud. Nico Collins, like you said, is dynamite last season. And then bringing in Diggs, that was a shocker. Of all the places he could have went, that's where he ends up. Hey, more power to him. Like you said, once again, you got to get that guy in the right mental space because he can be kind of like a T.O. type of guy. So as long as he can just stay on track and be on the same page with Stroud, that could be dangerous. And then not to jump ahead here, you know, after that, but like even the Jags at home, I mean – there's a lot of these games where it's like, my thing is, can Detroit hold up another season and be as consistent? Because we just, how much trust do we have in Detroit to be like, okay, now they're going to be good for the next 3 to 4 years? Like, we haven't seen it. So, not to say they can't, but I it's one of those wait and see type of deals. I just don't know.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. And jumping ahead, like you said, Jacksonville, they got the whole AFC South. They got Jacksonville, they got Indianapolis. But then after those two games, I think that's where the schedule gets a little bit easier. I think you could say the Colts will be tough. The Colts always seem to play teams tough, so the Colts will be tough. But then you get into this sandwich games in between. The Bears are the sandwich, right? They're the bread. They're the bread on that sandwich. And in between there, you got the cheese. You got the cheese there in Green Bay, and you got the buffalo meat at the bottom there. You're eating buffalo today. You got buffalo sandwiched in there. So, I mean, you got the Bears followed by Green Bay, then you have Buffalo, then you have the Bears again, right? So, I mean, it depends where this Bears team is sitting. We don't know. But you're traveling to Chicago on December 22nd. Like we said, Jared Goff doesn't play good outside the dome. Bears fans will tell us that they're going undefeated this year, so they aren't going to lose either one of those games. But, I mean, that is going to be a tough sandwich right there to try and eat. I mean, you have the home games will help you, right? You're going to have the Bears at home, the Packers at home, and Buffalo at home. I think that helps you out. I think that's going to help the Lions out. I do think they win three out of these four. I think they will beat Green Bay at home just simply because going over there to Ford Field, Packers already beat them once that season. I think they will take that game. But, I mean, that Bears game, that's going to be around that. That's Thanksgiving, right? That's that Thanksgiving game there against the Bears. And then Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago, 3-4. I see that as 3-4. I don't know if they go to Chicago and beat the Bears. I really don't. As much as I want to see the Bears just completely be a dumpster fire this next year, I think they figure out how to win it because that defense is very good. That defense is very good. You put that into the mix with Jared Goff not playing good outside of the dome, that leads to problems. I think the Bears do win that game. They will have it tough. I think Green Bay is going to give them a game there. That's going to be a Thursday night game for that one. So that's going to be a tough one. And then they're going to have that short turnaround between the Bears and the Packers, then Buffalo. That's going to be a tough couple weeks. I just don't know with Buffalo. I really don't know where they're going to be sitting now. Josh Allen's still around, but no Stephon Diggs anymore. I don't think it's Gabe Davis isn't back. I thought Gabe Davis is gone too. I don't know who is that wide receiver for the Bills anymore. I mean, after Diggs left, it kind of went downhill. I know he was hurt. Davis was hurt for the playoffs there. I don't know if he's going to be back. So I don't know how this Buffalo team sits leading into that game against the Lions, still with a decent defense. McDermott's still a good coach, so I'm not going to put it past the Bills to play well this next year. I just think that's going to be a 3-4 stretch right there for the Lions right there.
Yeah, I was really bullish on the Jags last year. I was like, watch this team. Like, they were in the, you know, they played Kansas City hard in the playoffs the year before. I was like, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to have I literally was like, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the MVP, this and that. I went like way over the board. And they couldn't have ended worse for them. I mean, they collapsed down the stretch. They missed the playoffs. They lose. I think it was Tennessee last year towards the end of the year that just put them completely out of the playoff picture. But I don't know. I've trust. Maybe it's just like my bias towards Doug Peterson because I saw him do it in Philadelphia, obviously. But I just thought Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence, like it just this should be a match made in heaven. It last season was a disappointment. So I mean, Jacksonville might take that step this year. If they don't take the step this year, I'll be confused because I just don't know. If not now, then when? Because, and you know, you bring up Gabe Davis, he's actually on the Jags now. So I
there we go.
Figured that out, you know, via search. So yeah, that's a toss up. I mean, maybe I'll give the edge to the Lions because they are at home. That's about it though. I mean, I really don't think there's much there. I mean, the Jags, once again, we won't know what they are. That's a team that's just really hard to predict what they're gonna be. So I think they won't be a dumpster fire either way. Maybe they're playing around 500 level at that point. Like you said, the Colts play everybody hard. I love Shane Steichen. Like, I wish the Eagles wouldn't have let him walk out the door. That was even more painful than Doug Peterson to me because, like, our offense looked infinitely better with Shane Steichen at the helm at the OC position. And he's done wonders. I mean, he had Minshew last year for most of the year. And they were competitive all year. So I really, really like Shane Steichen a lot. That could be a loss to me. Like, I think the Colts are a bubble playoff team. I might go a little bit opposite here with you on that Thursday night Bears game, only because that's at home. In the dome, I think Jared Goff will be able to figure it out against the Bears team. Like we said, we don't know what they'll be. But then that Packers game, I give them the edge. They'll have like about a week off because they'll play a Thursday and then another Thursday. So I'll give the edge to the Lions there over your Packers just because they're pretty comparable teams, like as far as, you know, like where they're going to sit probably. But I still think the Packers are, like, I trust the Packers more, but here at home, I think the Lions get it. The Bills, that's a really tough one too. Like you said, I just don't know what that team will look like. Josh Allen got to cut down the turnovers. I like Josh Allen, but he throws the ball. I mean, he's like far 4.0 because, I mean, the guy just throws the ball anywhere he wants to, whenever he wants to. I want Josh Allen to win one of these years, but it's now this team might be regressing just because of losing Diggs, losing Gabe Davis. I don't know. It was one of those, they had their window. Their window might close. So I think the Lions get that, but then that next Bears game at Chicago, 1 o'clock start, like you said, December 22nd. That's where I think Chicago gets that game. I don't trust Jared Goff to play at Soldier Field. That just doesn't compute with me. It's way too cold. That's one of the coldest environments he'll play in. And then, I mean, I don't know if we touched on that Niners game, but I mean, if the Niners are playing for something, it would be tough for me to pick the Lions over the Niners, as much, trust me, as much as I want to. I hate the Niners more than the next guy. That team really bothers me on a lot of levels, but I don't know. Well, I'll give it back to you, but if the Niners are playing for anything right there, it's going to be in San Fran on a Monday night. That's going to be a real tough sell to try and get Detroit a win there. That's a tough one.
I really do think the Niners will be, unless if they have like this phenomenal year where they have one loss. I think they're going to be playing with one of these NFC North teams for the number one seed. I really do think. I'm not counting out the Eagles. They might be in the mix too. But between all these divisions right now, seeing some of these, especially, I mean, you look at the NFC North, they're talking about the Bears being back. They're talking about the Lions being, you know, just like they were, and the Packers on the uprise right now. So unless if those teams beat each other up and, you know, we lose quarterbacks left and right or whatever it is, there might be a three-team race for the number one seed come week 15, week 16. So I really could see that San Francisco being something played for. You know, we're playing for something late in the year. And going to San Fran, that's tough. That's tough to win at San Fran. I mean, you got that defense is still loaded up. Like I said, barring injury, the 49ers are like the team you're on Madden. You're like, who am I going to pick to beat up this kid? I'm going to take the 49ers defense, right? That's what you want. That's what you want out there. You got Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. What else could you want in this world? But yeah, I completely agree. I think that 49ers game is a loss. And the Vikings, it's week 18's tough, right? Because like you said, you know, they don't release times yet to us because we don't know what's being played for. So are the Vikings even in a race? Are they a dumpster fire? Are the Lions locked up in a two seed by then? If they're locked up in a two seed, we aren't going to see Goff, right? We're not going to see this guy. We're not going to see that guy. So it's hard to pick a week 18 game. So that's what we got for the Lions there. I mean, interesting. I think they have, out of all the NFC North teams, probably outside of the Packers, I think that this Lions team has the toughest stretch of games there. So let's flip script. Let's go to the Vikings here. We got to go quicker though. We're running out of time here. So we got to get to the Vikings here real quick. We'll go through this one fast because we don't care so much about the Vikings, but whatever. So looking at the Vikings, they got a tough little stretch here to start out the year. After the Giants, then they will have a home game against the 49ers, followed by Houston at home. Then they go to Green Bay, and then they have the Jets following up after that. I don't know what the Jets are going to look like. That's going to be one of those overseas games, so it's a 8:30 start in the morning, whatever it is over there. I believe they're playing in Germany or something like that. I don't know. Some across the pond. They're across the pond over there. That's all I know. Send Aaron Rodgers as far away as we can. But I could see it. I mean, the Giants game, I don't think the Giants are going to figure it out yet. I don't trust Danny Dimes. I don't. Maybe if what's his name's playing, Danny DeVito. Maybe if DeVito's rolling it out there, they might have a shot this year. But I don't trust Danny Dimes. I think they lose to San Francisco. I think they lose to Houston. And I think they go to Green Bay and lose that game. I could see a one in. I really do think the Jets, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt week one, running the flag out, I'm pretty sure the Jets will beat the Vikings there. So I'm going to go with a 1-4 start for the Vikings. I think it'll be a slow start just getting J.J. McCarthy adjusted into there. I don't trust the defense for the Vikings. So I think it'll be a 1-4 start for the Vikings there.
Yeah. And I'll keep it brief here too. I mean, there's so many things we can talk about, but yeah, Giants won't. I mean, maybe they are a little better than last year. Whoop-de-doo. They were horrible last year. So that should be, I mean, yeah, you're going on the road, but I feel like McCarthy maybe pulls that off. That's probably a close game. Just to me, I don't know why that just feels like a close game. The Niners, I don't care. They're coming to the Vikings. If you're McCarthy and your second game's against that Niners defense, like I don't care who you played in college, you're going to be shaking in your boots a little bit. I mean, that is just, that's brutal. I love to see it though. I'm all for it. I hope the Niners do whoop McCarthy all around the field that day, as much as I don't want them to have success. But then it's Houston. That's probably a loss. I mean, unless Stroud just implodes or something, that's, and then like you said, I mean, I give Green Bay the edge. Green Bay to me is winning this division this year. I'm already on board with that.
Book it, stay up it, take it to the bank. There it is.
Yeah, I don't see Detroit doing it again. And I'm so out on the Bears. I have no faith in them at all. But The Jets, yeah, I give the Jets that game. I mean, Jets defense is great with Saleh there. It's going to be great this year, I think. And then Rodgers just stay upright. So yeah, I'm exactly with you. I even think that, I mean, that week one game, if they lose that, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, to me, those two teams are just, I don't have trust in either one of them. So it's, I don't know. Maybe the Giants somehow come out, look okay, this, like for the first couple of weeks and then inevitably explode. But I don't know. I mean, they could lose all these games. At best, they win one. I just don't see any more than that.
No, I agree. And, you know, if you were a Viking fan out there listening, I mean, a 2-3 start to the year, I wouldn't, like, that would be great. A 2-3 start. If you beat one of these other four teams, 2-3 start, that's fantastic. You go 3-2, you better be rejoicing because that's a heck of a start because you beat some of the top teams in the NFL in that stretch. I mean, that would be a phenomenal start right there. I don't see anything past a 2-3 start, but I mean, I've seen crazier stuff happen to start a year. I mean, we've seen it, so it could happen. They have that bye week, week 6. So they get rid of that gauntlet there. Then they have the bye week. Then they go and they play Detroit. That's going to be a home game against Detroit, followed by the Rams, then the Colts, then Jacksonville, then Tennessee. This is where the schedule might get a little more favorable for the Vikings to pull off some wins. I could see a win against Tennessee. I know it's at Tennessee, but I could see them traveling and winning that game there. Maybe sneaking one. The tough one is going to be the Rams. I wanted to say sneaking one out, but they're going to LA for that game on a Thursday night. Maybe still they find a way to win that game. The Colts, I just think the Colts are going to beat up on the Vikings there. Jacksonville, like we said, it is really going to depend. What does Trevor Lawrence give us? I mean, this guy was supposed to be the next dude, and so far we've seen one good year, one bad year. We don't know what. I mean, we don't count the Urban Meyer crap because I thought Urban Meyer was actually the reason why they had a downfall to start. He's a good college coach. He's not a good NFL coach. There's a fine line and he couldn't cross it. So, I mean, that I don't count those years, but now we've seen a good and a bad year. So what does Jacksonville give us for that third now, right? We have the third go around with Trevor Lawrence for real. What do we see now? And then, I mean, Detroit, I'm going to count that as a loss. So that stretch there, I could see a win against Tennessee. I could see a win against Jacksonville. Outside of that, I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's just some of these teams, man, it's really hard to get a pulse on them because, like, if McCarthy's, like we said, I mean, we probably think he's going to be average or above average. These are some winnable games. I mean, these division games, like, as you know, I mean, it's just hard to pick. Like, if the Lions are traveling to the Vikings, that could be a Vikings win. That could be a Lions win. It just doesn't – I don't feel, like, confident going either way. I mean, maybe I give the Lions a slight advantage just because of Dan Campbell. You know, Jared Goff's a veteran. It's in a – I mean, shit, they play in a dome too. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't got to worry about Jared Goff playing in the cold or something. But, yeah, going to the Rams, you just got to hope – like, I'm not a Rams guy by any means. I do like – I think McVay's still there as far as I know, but you know, I do like Stafford too. So it's like there are some things there. I'm like, I just hope they stay healthy. I don't want them to win the Super Bowl, but I just want a healthy Stafford because it just makes that team fun to watch. I mean, the offense is just can be crazy at times. So I don't think with McVay there, they're just going to do too much to that Vikings defense on offense as long as Stafford and just stay healthy by that time in the season. Colts, that's a toss-up game. I mean, maybe I give the Vikings that one on like a whim. Like they just get a, they might even be underdog in that game, but they pull it off at home in a you know gritty game. So yeah, Jacksonville, like I already alluded to on that. I just don't know what they're gonna be. I mean, you're now surrounding Trevor Lawrence with a lot. So with Doug Peterson, I'm thinking this is going to work, but I said that last year. So
yep.
I don't quite know. And then Tennessee, to me, like I'm a little bit bullish on Tennessee for some reason. I mean, I know they have Will Levis, they lost Derrick Henry. It shouldn't work, but maybe they have one of these surprising seasons and they're at least competitive. I don't know. So for me, with McCarthy in there, man, it's so hard for me to just say yes. They're gonna. Like, none of these games, I'm, like, fully confident they just get it done. Now, do they sneak a couple wins in here? Absolutely. I think they do. It's just, where are they going to be? Like, maybe he balls out against Jacksonville in Jacksonville. It's just, it's tough because we just don't know. It's not the Kirk Cousins Vikings anymore. So now it's, what do we have here with McCarthy in year one?
Yep. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I agree. It's going to very much hinge on what can McCarthy do, especially coming off that bye week. You faced the gauntlet to start the year. Now you have the experience. What do you show us now after the bye week? So after that Tennessee game, you travel to Soldier Field for the Bears, followed by Arizona. Then you have a date with Kirk Cousins, the money man himself down there in Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, you'll be traveling down there for that game, followed by the Bears, then Seattle, wrapping up the season with Green Bay, and then at Detroit. So a little rough sledding there down the line between Green Bay and Detroit. But, I mean, you got a couple winnable games in there, I believe. You're going to, you know, the Bears at home, I could see that one being a win. Arizona at home. Atlanta, I mean, they're coming to you. So Kirk Cousins, how does he do in that game back in Minnesota? Probably going to get some booing going on. How does he respond to that? Seattle, that's at Seattle. I think that's going to be a tough one. And then you got Green Bay. That's going to be at home, but Green Bay is going to be tough, especially if it's week 17 and they're playing for something, right? That's a big thing down the stretch to look at is what are these teams playing for? You're going to be playing against two teams, week 17 and 18, who could be playing for something between the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. So I think the Vikings, I mean, realistically, I'm looking at probably two wins in that stretch. I'm looking at a Vikings team who could... 7 wins on the year, 8 wins on the year. I think you book it, you call it a good year, you move on to the next. I really do see that as the icing on the cake for this one.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Like, I think they take some of these division games because, like, I mean, we talk about, you know, anybody can kind of win a division game any given – I mean, yeah, it's any given Sunday, but, like, division games feel more winnable to me a lot of the time. These teams know each other. They know tendencies, this, that, and the third. But, yeah, I mean, the Cardinals, like I said, I mean, I think they still won against the Cardinals. Unless Kyler Murray is just lighting it up and setting the world on fire, that team's probably going to be bad again. I mean, they played pretty hard last year, which surprised me for Gannon, but I just don't think they have enough there. I don't know. We'll see how long the leash is on Gannon. Like, do they give him 2 more years if they're kind of a 5-6-7 win team throughout this stretch? But yeah, the Falcons, I mean, you now pair one of the most, like, a franchise that is known to choke with one of the biggest choke artists there is. I mean, Kirk Cousins, choke artist big time, and the Falcons can never just win when they need to win. So I'll take the Vikings on that one. Vikings are choke artists too, but I'll just take them on that 1 o'clock game there. The Bears, I mean, I think they probably split with the Bears. If Bears get one, the Vikings get this one at home. Seattle, no shot. I just don't think they're going to go out to Seattle and pull that off. Doesn't feel right. And like you said, I mean, that Packers game, if the Packers don't have the NFC North locked up or the number one seed or whatever it might be, I don't care. They're traveling to Minnesota. I still give them the upper hand. Might be one of those grinded out games. Might be one of those fourth quarter, you know, 3-4 minutes left. You're like, man, Vikings might pull this off, and then Green Bay kind of shuts the door on them type of deal. But, yeah, if the Vikings can win, like, 8 games, I call that probably a success with a rookie quarterback in a tough division, a very tough division now, especially with the Lions being relevant and good. So we'll see. I'm definitely rooting against McCarthy, but I'm excited to see how he looks in the NFL, though, because, I mean, he is a – It's rare to see a Big Ten quarterback taken that early and then be a starter right away. So I'm going to be curious to see how he adjusts at the NFL level for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I completely agree. I hate Michigan. I hate Minnesota. You put them together, it's like it's just that bad combo for me, right? It's like the warm air meeting the cold air, making a tornado, right? You just don't like it. But, I mean, so now we got to get to the optimistic Bear fans, right? We got to let the Bears know where they're sitting. And I think the optimism's coming because this schedule, just looking at it, kind of looks relatively, I mean, you know, we're talking about teams that can play you tough, but we're looking at the schedule saying, yeah, it's a little bit easier. It's a little bit on the easier side. Give this team Detroit's schedule. Give them Green Bay's schedule. Then we could say something different. You open up the season with the Tennessee Titans, who we've talked about, we hope that they are something, but we're going to look on the, I mean, the realist side, saying that they're still a little bit behind, especially now losing Derrick Henry. So you have Tennessee to start it. Then you have to go to Houston. I think that's a loss. I'm not going to go with a lot of Bear fans out there telling me that's a win. I think CJ Stroud is going to show Caleb Williams he should have been a number one pick, because that's going to be an easy win for Houston down there. Then you have to go to Indianapolis. You have to go to the Colts. You think the Colts play it tough on the road. The Colts play even tougher at home. They're a gritty team. We talk about Dan Campbell having gritty teams. That is a gritty team in Indianapolis. So you don't want to face them, especially at home. So that's going to be a rough one. And then you go and you play the Los Angeles Rams at home, Carolina at home, and the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. I am going to say this just because I hate the Bears. I really do hate the Bears. I hate to say it, anything good about the Bears, but I think they do start out the year well. I really do, simply because I do believe they'll beat Tennessee just because of a skill standpoint. I believe they lose to Houston, but then they lose to the Colts also. So they start 1-2, but I think they bounce back then. Three home games in a row. I think they do beat the Rams. I think they do beat Carolina. And I do think they beat Jacksonville. So I believe they start this year at 4-2. I believe after that is when we're going to see some tough sledding, when they get into the hard, in quotation marks, portion of their schedule. Because they're, you know, I look at the schedule and I'm like, they have some favorable matchups to put themselves in a good spot.
Yeah, this is one of those where, you know, people are kind of like, I'm not saying you in particular, just people are looking at, well, what Caleb Williams could be, this, that, and the third. Like, we don't, once again, rookie quarterback, we don't know. I'm just kind of the mindset, like, obviously he's got to show me. Like, I just, because he didn't, if you look at it, he didn't win that much in college. Like, yeah, he might be a stat pattern and like he can put up, you know, 500 yards and this, that, and the third, but I don't know. We'll see what his mental makeup is too, but excuse me, but that first game, I mean, yeah, I'd probably give him a win against the Titans. I hope the Titans pull it off. I love Will Levis infinitely better than Caleb Williams, just from a who I'm going to root for standpoint. But yeah, I mean, the Bears have weapons, like we know that. So offensively, they might be all right. And then obviously bringing in, like, Eagles lose DeAndre Swift, he goes there. So he might be a little bit of a cushion for Caleb Williams in his rookie year. But yeah, no shot. I mean, if they go to the Texans and win, I'll be floored. I mean, maybe I'll put a couple dollars on it just because it's like there's no way that's happening. But we've seen stranger things. But yeah, I really don't think on paper that would not make any sense whatsoever. So I give Texans the edge, obviously, there. Colts, exactly, agree with your point. Colts are going to play a lot of teams hard, even teams that are of a higher caliber than them, I think. So I give the Colts that advantage too, playing in that dome. That's a hard place to get a win. Rams, I do have to oppose you here. I think the Rams go in there and steal one. I think Stafford finds a way to – I just have a lot of trust in Stafford if he can just – all he has to do is stay healthy. Like, it's just that's his thing. It's been his thing in his career. So, yeah, I give the Rams that one. The Panthers – I mean, you better beat the Panthers. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of feel for Bryce Young down there. I mean, I don't think you could have been drafted to a worse organization right now in football. I mean, years past, we would have said Detroit. Even Chicago, but like right as we speak right now, I mean, that is just, they have no idea what they're doing, no direction, it seems like. So unfortunately, I think Bryce Young's kind of in for it. Once again, the Bears get that one. The Jags, I'm going to, man, that's a tough one, because I know you sing the praises of the Bears defense. I know a couple guys on that secondary, it's about it for that.
Well, matter, now but hold on. I might have to oppose myself. Jacksonville doesn't lose across the pond. I believe that they might be still undefeated in overseas games. And that game is overseas. So I might have to oppose myself and put the Bears at a 3-3 start, because I don't think anybody can beat if Jacksonville played every game overseas, they would go 17-0. They would go to the Super Bowl, and they would win the Super Bowl. That's just plain and simple. Trevor Lawrence would look like the best thing that's ever walked planet Earth. I mean, that is just how they play when they're overseas. So I'm 3-3. I'm going to change my mind. 3-3 start.
That feels right. I don't know. That just feels like a Bears thing, like a 3-3. I mean, obviously we're going way back, like Rex Grossman when they had that crazy defense, Thomas Jones. But like, yeah, they haven't been good in a while. That Man, we'll see about Jacksonville, though. Like, I give them the edge because it is, like you said, overseas. But, like, man, we don't know. That's the thing with Jacksonville. Like, just like we don't know with the Bears, we don't know with Jacksonville. But.
No, exactly. I mean, it's seeing what Trevor Lawrence has got, seeing what Caleb Williams has got. And you're talking about a team, like we said, in Indianapolis multiple times. We haven't truthfully seen what Anthony Richardson has yet. I mean, he got injured early last year. This could be the next guy, right? This could be Lamar Jackson 2.0. Like, we don't know yet. So it's going to be interesting to see what all these young quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks in the league are impressive right now. I think we're kind of kicking the old guys to the curb right now with as many good stars that are in the league that are younger nowadays. So, I mean, we got the week 7 bye. Then you have Washington, and then you have Arizona, and then you play the Patriots. Like, I mean, coming off a bye, you got three terrible matchups coming up there. And I'm not even going to talk about the matchups. I'm not going to talk about the matchups. 3-0. I believe the Patriots are behind schedule yet. They're not back to being what they want to be. I think they're going to be better than what they were with Mac Jones. I still don't think they're that good. Washington, no. I would love to see Jaden Daniels just whoop up on Caleb Williams. I really would, but defensively, I think the Bears will just, these three games will be a wash just because of the Bears defense. I just think they're going to be all over these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I have to watch more of this Bears defense this year because I'm not too, the Eagles played them like 2 years ago, so it's not the same exact team. And I mean, Justin Fields ran all over us. I remember that game. But I don't know. Like Washington, they're another team. They can never simply figure it out. Like, I didn't even think Sam Howell was that bad. But
no.
Okay, we'll kick him to the curb, get the next. Like, they're constantly drafting quarterbacks. It is like a quarterback carousel down there in South Maryland down there. But it's, I don't know. I mean, Jaden Daniels, I mean, there are some good receivers. Like, former Penn State great Jahad Dotson down there. They got Scary Terry's always a problem. But I just don't, Brian Robinson coming out of the backfield. Like they have some pieces there. It's just collectively, do I trust them? Hardly ever do I trust Washington. So, I mean, I probably give the edge to the Bears, but this is just like, I don't know. Maybe I do like Jaden Daniels too. I hope he does well, but not well enough to obviously oversee the Eagles. So, Cardinals, I mean, going to Arizona, I think the Bears sneak that one. I think the Patriots defense will probably still be good somehow, even though Belichick's gone, but the Bears do just enough to win that game. So maybe they drop one in there. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked they drop one of those three games just on a fluke. Like they go to Arizona pulls it out or something weird happens there. So just the fact that I don't trust the Bears, I don't trust Caleb Williams at all really yet. I give them 2-1 stretch there. They lose one of those to me.
I agree. Yeah. No, I could see it going both ways. I just, coming off of a bye week, that's like the worst spot for your bye week with three bad teams after it there. You want to have a good team coming up, but I guess so. You know, that's the Bears' luck right there. So you move off of that game against New England. Then you have the Packers, followed by the Vikings. Then you travel to Detroit, you travel to San Fran, you travel to Minnesota. Then you have a home game against Detroit, Seattle at home, then the Packers on the road to end the year. The one that worries me as a Packer fan is the game at home. The Bears get when we go to Soldier Field. That's the game that worries me simply because it is at Soldier Field. You know, I don't know if you really get that home element just because the Packers play on the frozen tundra. So no difference. We're going to drive right down the road. We're going to be on the frozen. Like, it's frozen. Either way, it's cold, right? So I really don't see an edge there weather-wise or anything like that. That defense is good. I mean, they have a very good run defense. Can the Packers exploit that? Can they still exploit the secondary for them? That's going to be something to watch for in that one. Minnesota, that game, I believe the Bears will take both against Minnesota. Maybe not the one at Minnesota. I could maybe see the Vikings pulling that out on a Monday night. Just one of those Monday night miracles, right? You got to have one every year there. The Detroit game at Detroit on Thanksgiving, I think that's a loss. I do think that they do surprise Detroit at home, though. Like we talked about earlier, Jared Goff going to Soldier Field, he struggles in those kinds of games. I think the Detroit Lions will lose that game. They have Seattle at home. I think they'll win that game on a Thursday night. And then the Packers on the road. If the Packers are playing for something and Jordan Love's out there, the Packers will win that game. Just plain and simple there. So I think the Bears, you know, and I hate the Bears. The Bears suck. I hate the Bears. But I think they have, I think the season's going to look decent simply because the schedule is going to be favorable, right? The schedule will be favorable for the Bears to have a good year. Now, if they don't, that makes it look even worse. That makes it look like it's a dumpster fire. I think Bears fans are ahead of themselves simply because Caleb Williams could be the greatest quarterback to ever walk planet Earth, right? I'm not going to say that he is, but he could be. He has talent. Nobody has denied that guy's talent, but I feel like he's got that million-dollar talent with a one-cent head. You put him into a bad system, because we talk about rookie quarterbacks all the time, you got to have a good head coach, right? Brock Purdy would not be anything without Kyle Shanahan. I will stand by that. I don't care who you are, what you got to say. Brock Purdy would not be the same if you put him with Mike McCarthy. No way. No way in Sam Heck would he be the same guy. Yet we see it. We see it out there. He's phenomenal. So, I mean, I just, with Caleb Williams and the Bears, and I mean, we don't even have to, you don't, if you want to talk about the rest of the schedule, you can. If you just want to jump in on the Caleb Williams banter here, you can. But, I mean, with Caleb Williams and the Bears, I think the biggest thing is going to be, how does the coaching staff control Caleb Williams? His, I mean, you'd like to say attitude and effort and everything like that. How do they coach him? How does he get coached in his first year? That's what I am going to be most intrigued in, to see how this Bears team will fare. Not just in this year, because I don't, you know, I hate putting teams on this pedestal, especially in their first year with a new quarterback. I just don't think you can do that, right? If you were to throw Jordan Love in there in his first year, and you would have said after his first year, this dude just sucks, we should trade him away, the whole team sucks, let's just get rid of the whole thing, I think I would have called you nuts, right? You have to wait. You have to give him that time. Me, I was a big Jordan Love hater for the first 10 weeks of the year, just simply because I didn't see what I wanted to see. But then after that, I was like, I ate my words. I was like, I get it. Like, this dude has some, he has some talent in there that we haven't even touched yet. So I just see Caleb Williams and I'm like, is the head coach going to be right? Are they going to have the right coaching staff? Is the offense going to flow right with him? Is he going to have too many distractions in there, right? Because you have DJ Moore, you have Rome Odunze, and you also have Keenan Allen. Sometimes with a lot of star wide receivers, you also have guys like Stephon Diggs who don't get the ball enough. They don't touch it enough. Now you have those guys walking into the quarterback room and they're telling Caleb Williams, hey, throw me the ball a little bit more. Throw me the ball a little bit more. So I just, when I think of Caleb Williams, I think it's going to be a lot of how does this coaching staff control him leading into this season here. That's going to tell us a lot of, and it's going to really show where the Bears record is when this whole thing is done.
Yeah, I once again, I mean, we kind of sing each other's praises there, but like, I really agree. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I don't trust the Bears to put him in a good position, because I don't think they did Justin Fields any favors whatsoever. I know they have more weapons there now, and they've kind of worked towards that, but I mean, Eberflus has not really proven that he's much of anything as a head coach. Just being honest, I mean, it could even be an organizational issue. I think they have more problems than probably Eberflus, but is he good enough to like overcome those organizational problems? Probably not. So I don't know. I'm very much not sold on Caleb Williams like a lot of people are. I'm just not, especially in year one. I don't think he's going to be as good as people think. I just don't. I got to see, like, if he starts getting knocked around, like absolutely hit like a ragdoll like some of these quarterbacks do, I mean, how's he going to take that? Like, is it going to be one of those, okay, I'm not going to play the rest of the year because we're not in contention? Like, I mean, he did it. He kind of pulled that in college where it's like, well, and I get he wanted to protect his draft status and stuff, but like, I just don't, I'll give McCarthy this. Like, McCarthy has that dog killer instinct. Like, he has that like Brady-esque mindset. Does Caleb Williams have that switch? I don't know. I didn't see it at USC. So that's my thing. If he was going into a, like, if this was Caleb Williams at like being drafted by the Vikings, this would be like, man, this could really work. Cause he'd get off to, you know, with all those weapons, it's almost hard to like absolutely fall on your face. I know they have some weapons. Keenan Allen isn't like the Keenan Allen of like yesteryear or whatever, but I don't know. I don't have all that much faith in the Bears this season. I don't think they're going to be competitive for the division. That's for sure. I don't think they're going to be even a long shot for competitive for the division. I mean, maybe he shows flashes, but I think in year one, they probably at the end of the season, I think they fire Eberflus and they bring in somebody. I mean, if they had a Shane Steichen from the Colts, former Eagles OC, somebody that can really dial up things offensively, just some mastermind out there. I'm sure there'll be guys available that we don't know off the top, or a Bieniemy even, maybe that would work or something. But I just, with Eberflus, with the O-line that I saw Justin Fields get murdered behind, I don't have that much confidence that it might not even be all Caleb Williams, but does he keep his head screwed on all year? I don't know. I'll be curious to see. I would say that he doesn't, but that remains to be seen.
I'll throw a wild name at you. Lincoln Riley. Something to see. That'd be the spot. I mean, I could see it. I just could see it just simply because the Bears would be thinking to themselves hey, he did good with Lincoln Riley. If we bring him back in, maybe that, transpires into the NFL. The Bears, they're far out there. I mean, I was looking at alcohol sale prices the other day and how much, each fan base spends on alcohol average per team. The Bears were the highest with $58.76 that they were spending on alcohol on average. That's wild. That's above the Green Bay Packers. You thought we drink a lot. Those guys, that's why they're so optimistic down there. They're just drunk all the time. I mean, that's what they're doing down there. But so jumping off of the Bears, let's get to the Packers real quick here. We'll fly through the Packers here. I mean, we got your Eagles coming up week one. That's going to be a good game. I really do think that is going to be a fantastic week one matchup on a Friday there to open. Of course, a Friday game, Peacock, 7:15 start. Great stuff there, right? We got to be on Peacock. I think that's going to be a fantastic game to open up the year. The Eagles are always that question mark team for me just simply because of the defense. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. They are going to have to fill that hole of Jason Kelce there. I don't want to bring up bad feelings there with Jason Kelce, but they're going to have to fill that hole, right? I mean, just a mainstay in there for so long. Now you got to fill it. And then, like they said, the defense, that's just always a question mark for me. So, I mean, looking at that week one matchup, I think it's going to be a toss-up just simply because, is there really home field advantage? I don't think so. It's week one. There's going to be those week one jitters, and you're trying to work everything out, but I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I could see the Packers winning that game, but I could see the Eagles sneaking it out too.
I hate to say it, man. I do give the Packers the edge in this one.
There we go.
Only because, a whole overhaul in the Eagles coaching staff. You got Vic Fangio coming in, defensive coordinator, which I hate his style, but that's the direction they went. And then they go Kellen Moore offensively. So, I mean, Sirianni has pretty much been released of all, he's going to be a CEO head coach. It's kind of some turmoil, in my opinion, with that because, so now the organization has zero trust in Sirianni, but he's still the head coach. It just doesn't almost add up. I think the Packers fundamentally as a franchise have more going for them as far as stability. I like your head coach. I feel like there's going to be some miscues on offense because, like I said, it's brand new offense. Kellen Moore, we'll see. I like the hire. I don't love it. I like it. But I think ultimately, Jordan Love will dice us up a good bit because he did when they played him in Philly the last time. And I think it's a close game, but I do think, unfortunately, we dropped this one. I could see us winning, but I do give the nod. I give the edge to the Packers. And, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping this defense plays better. They brought in a crap ton of pieces. I mean, it's literally a big overhaul on that defensive side of the ball, which they absolutely needed last year, but they didn't do it. But not to get long-winded, I think Packers win this game, unfortunately. Hate to say it, but I don't hate the Packers. So, I mean, it's not the 49ers. If this was the 49ers, I would never, ever pick the Eagles to lose to them, even if I know they're going to lose to them.
I'll give it that one. That was a good one. Good one. I mean, I it took a lot. It probably took a lot to admit that the Packers are better, but I mean, come on. It was good. So, I mean, after that game, then we got that AFC South matchups there. We got the Colts. We got Tennessee Titans. I think the Packers, they're going to win both them. They got the Colts at home. I think that's going to be an easier game for Green Bay then. Then they go on the road to Tennessee, but I think they'll take that one. Back at home against the Minnesota Vikings, that's a win. Rams on the road, I really do believe they win that game. And then Arizona at home, I think they win that one before they do lose a game. I think they lose the game to Houston. They're going to start the season off hot. Everybody's going to be high up on them. And then CJ Stroud's going to walk in and say, okay, enough's enough. I'm better than you. This is my town now. So I think they do lose that game to Houston. Jacksonville at Jacksonville, that's going to be a tough game. I think it'll be tough. I think the Packers win it, and then they win that game at Detroit. I think they really do start this year 8-1. If they do not slip up, I could see them slipping up along the way just because that's the way my Wisconsin sports love to go. But I could see them starting this season out 8-1 before that bye week.
I could see it also. I mean, I think the Colts play them, like we've kind of already said that a million times. Colts maybe play them tough, but it is in Lambeau. I trust the Packers to get it done. Titans aren't there yet to be on the level of, like, I mean, we kind of forget. I mean, you don't forget, obviously, but, like, people forget the Packers played that Niners team in the playoffs extremely tough. I was, God almighty, I was the biggest cheesehead that day of all time. But it's just, like, I think they whoop up on these lesser teams. Like, I think they're an upper echelon team, so I don't think they struggle there. That Vikings game is interesting because it's division. I still think I give the nod to the Packers. I just don't think McCarthy will figure it out in at Lambeau enough to overcome that. The Rams, for some reason, I do feel like they slip up there. I feel like the Rams just get one there. I'm not picking the Rams to like go 14. It probably sounds like I'm picking them to go like 14-3. I don't think so, but I just think that Sunday, 4 o'clock, that happens there. Cardinals, they come out after losing to the Rams. Let's just say hypothetically, but they'll annihilate the. I mean, they will put 45-14 on the Cardinals. I just don't see that as a close game whatsoever. And then from there, Texans. Yeah, I don't know though. I almost think because it's at Lambeau. I mean, Jordan Love's going to kind of. They're both those quarterbacks going to be juiced up because they're going to get compared to each other. Who's better, young quarterback? This type of thing.
Maybe a shootout.
I think it's a shootout, yeah. And yep. I think the Packers get that one. So I think they slip up on a weird team like the Rams, but they do beat the Texans in like a 48-47, you know, 48-44, whatever, something like that game. And I just think Jordan Love's going to be like, you know what? Everybody's talking about CJ Stroud. Where's the love for some Jordan Love? Jordan Love had to ride that bench like the Packers quarterbacks do. But hey, I mean, I'm a fan. I think he can absolutely thread the needle. So. It'll be a good game. Like that's a cool, exciting matchup for sure. At Lambeau, 1 o'clock kick. Like that's what you want to see.
Yeah, I mean that start to the year. If not two losses, one loss. I really do think that's where Green Bay is sitting. I think it's favorable to start. They're going to have some tough matchups in there. Don't get me wrong. I think these are going to be a lot of close games. I just think the way that Halfley is going to be running this defense now in Green Bay, more aggressive, getting after guys, adding in McKinney now to go along with. You got Alexander, you got Keyshawn Nixon back. The defense, the linebackers are going to worry me a little bit, but you got a rookie coming in now. You got Quay Walker back. McDuffie's still in there. Defensive line's still solid. I think the defense is going to hold them in a couple of these games too and help out that offense. I just, like you said, that Houston game, I could really see a shootout. I really could. I could see it going both ways. I just think that game, CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, that could be a marquee matchup. I wish that was a Sunday night game. I wish that was a game that wasn't on at noon. It just seems like one of those matchups where if I was an NFL schedule maker, I'm looking at it and I'm like looking at that week and I'm like, this is the game. This is the game we want prime time. Not, you know, some stupid Commanders and Dallas Cowboys matchup. I want Houston. I want the Packers prime time at Lambeau. There is nothing better. Then Lambeau under the lights. Come on. We all can admit that Lambeau under the lights is something to see. So they got that bye week then, week 10, right? Followed it up Week 11, they go to Chicago. This is where the schedule gets a little bit tougher. They have that game at Chicago. Then they're going to take on the 49ers. That'll be on the 24th of November. They have a quick turnaround then. They're going to be taking on the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving at Lambeau Field, but 4 days rest. You have 4 days rest between San Francisco and Miami. That's tough. You have an explosive team in the 49ers. You have an explosive team in the Miami Dolphins, and you play them back-to-back. The schedule makers screwed the Green Bay Packers over right there. That's going to be a tough matchup in there. Follow that up by a game at Detroit. So that four-game stretch right there could be where the Packers run into major problems. Because if you start out that stretch with a loss at Chicago, now you have home game. It is a home game, but that 49ers team is still tough. And then you got to take on the Miami team, who is, I mean, in their own right, tough. That offense with Tua and Tyreek Hill and Waddle, that's explosive as all get out. And I believe Mozart is still down there. And if anybody remembers that game against the 49ers when he ran all over Green Bay's defense for like 300 yards, we don't want to see him again. And then you got Detroit at Detroit. That is a tough stretch of games right there. I got to be honest, if Green Bay goes through that stretch of games, 2-2, that's fine. I can live with it. If they go 3-1, fantastic. They go 4-0, they're going to the Super Bowl. If they go through that stretch 2-2, I'm all power to you. I'm good with that. Like that, I mean, I don't know where you're standing on that, but I look at that four-game stretch just because the Chicago game and Detroit game are on the road. I think that makes those two games tougher. And then you have the sandwich in there with the 49ers and the Dolphins. Like 2-2 is where I'm sitting in that stretch to be a solid stretch for Green Bay.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right there. Because, I mean, I know it's at Chicago. I feel like the Packers could take that though. I really do. I like I said. I mean, I'm not big on this Chicago team right now. Things could change. You know, I might feel completely different by that time of the season. But I'm pretty confident Green Bay will be leading the division at this point. I mean, maybe in a battle with Detroit. But I like I said, I picked them to win the division, the Green Bay. You know, I think this is the year they kind of get back to like that 13-14 win team that they can be. 49ers, yeah. I mean, no matter who's playing the 49ers, it's tough. Like, I hate to admit it. I really do. I really actually do. But they even traveling to Green Bay, I give them a fighter's chance and then some. I mean, they could win that. They could win that game. And then the Dolphins, man, that's a team that can be fraudulent, though. That team can be fraudulent. They can come up small when you least expect it. I mean, maybe that's one of those. But, yeah, you mentioned the four days rest in the NFL after playing. I mean, to me, the 49ers are the most physical team in the NFL. I mean, yeah, they just are. They'll beat you up. Every single play, they're trying to take your head off. That's how they play. They play 100 miles an hour on every single play. So, it's tough. I mean, I don't know. If the Packers defense can just – I'd almost want the Packers, if you're a Packers fan, kind of not get annihilated by the Niners, but get beat so they're not, like, playing the entire game where they're just going all out every single play. Let the Niners, you know, get out of their 10-14-point win, but then you bounce right back and beat the Dolphins. You know what I mean? Like, if this is a slugfest where you're in the fourth quarter and McCaffrey's got 8 million yards and he's – hitting people left and right. Yeah, there's going to be some people, you know, banged up next week. I mean, George Kittle lays people out. Like, it's just one of those, you want to escape that game with as least amount of injury as possible, because on 4 days rest, that's a recipe to get injured. You know what I mean? So if I give them a very good chance to beat the Dolphins, it just really depends on how that Niners game goes. I'm not even going to say they necessarily lose the Niners, but I'd probably give the Niners the edge there. And then going to Detroit on a primetime game, I mean, I'd probably give Detroit the edge there. So we're kind of right back there at 2-2 again. But I think they beat the Bears, and I think they beat the Dolphins, if you're looking at it that way.
Okay. So that 2-2, kind of sitting in that 2-2 range, right with me there. I mean, yeah, I completely agree that the thing that might help them a lot with the Dolphins, they don't travel well to the cold. Tua does not play good in the cold. Tyreek Hill, he played in Kansas City. He gets it, but the Dolphins just don't play well in the cold. We saw that last year. Was it against Buffalo? when they went up to Buffalo, and that was a rough game for them. So we know that this team struggles in the cold. That might help them out. I agree. San Francisco, they play everybody tough. They're physical. They're going to get after you. If you're in it, you're in it. If you're not, maybe we start bailing some guys out of there. You know, if you're in a 3-point game in the fourth quarter, okay, now you're still going balls to walls. You want to win this game. But if it's, like you said, 14-point game, 21-point game, and you're just getting into the fourth quarter, start pulling it back. You know, you have 4 days rest before you're playing Thanksgiving against the Dolphins. Pull guys back. Let's settle in. We'll get ready for the Dolphins now. We move on with life. Like, that's where you, I mean, that's, it sucks to have that mindset, but I feel like in that short of a turnaround, that's where I feel like the schedule makers just have it out for the Packers in that little stretch. It's like, oh, here you go. You get San Francisco 4 days later. You can have the Dolphins too. Like, here you go. Have fun. Like, what is that? They're going to get tested. Right there is going to be the true test of the Green Bay Packers. What they have and how aggressive this defense is really going to be. So after Detroit, you travel to Seattle. Then you have New Orleans back home, and I don't care who's at quarterback or whatever it is for the Saints. Somehow, some way, the Saints always figure out a way to play the Green Bay Packers close. I don't know what it is, but something about the Saints, they always find a way. Then you go to Minnesota, then you have the Bears back home. That final stretch, I think, is where the Packers get right. They get everything straightened out. They have back-to-back weeks where they're going to be playing primetime games. At Seattle is going to be a Sunday night game and then a Monday night game against the Saints. So I feel like the Packers in that stretch, if they don't go 4-0, they go 3-1. But I really could see them finishing out the season there 4-0. But like we said, with every schedule, I mean, we've talked about it here. It's going to depend on what we're playing for. You know, that last Bears game. What are we playing for in that last Bears game? Is it going to be a prime time? Is it on Saturday? Is it on Sunday? Like, it's all going to, there's a lot of variants that still have to go into what we can really say about that last game. But if they're playing for something, if Jordan Love's still got a stick up his ass that we're going to figure something out here, like, this is going to be a 4-0 stretch for the Green Bay Packers. If they're playing for something, he's going full mode Aaron Rodgers saying, I'm going to run the table here and go 4-0. That's just the kind of mentality it seems like Jordan Love has. Kind of like that silent killer. You know, he doesn't say a lot, but I mean, man, oh man, he's got the talent to do it. So I could see that last stretch being a 4-0 stretch for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I do think it's a 3-1. I can't pinpoint. Like, I think they can go on the road and beat. Like, this isn't the Seattle with the Legion of Boom and all that. Like, that would be a totally different story. Like, you know, maybe I give the edge to Seattle at that point. But, like, maybe they, like, the Saints are, like, battling extremely hard to get in the playoffs, and they just come out, like, guns blazing, and they pull out some miracle out of their ass. You know what I mean? Like, I could see that happen. I mean, I don't trust Derek Carr much at all. But, I feel like they lose. Maybe that Saints, like you said, that's another team, dude. The Eagles can, I mean, if we play the Saints in New Orleans, you could literally put your entire mortgage on the fact that we're not beating the Saints in New Orleans. Like, we never beat the Saints in New Orleans or in the playoffs. Like, it's very rare we can beat them. It's not a team I like, not a team I ever want to see. They were kind of like the precursor to the 49ers that are now, for us at least. They just owned us so many times, but it's even at 3-1 though, I think you're in great shape there. I still think, like, Detroit to me is probably a wild card team. Like, they don't win the division, but they make the wild card, which I hope they do. I mean, I want some underdogs to at least, like, not that Green Bay is not, but you know, Green Bay is like a stable franchise. They're like the Steelers almost, where it's like they're always there. They're always at least consistent. The Lions, obviously, the farthest thing from that. So maybe they go 3-1 here. They beat the Bears on the last game of the season to really clinch things up. I'll be curious to see what the seeds look like. I mean, I'd much rather see Green Bay as a number one. If the Eagles aren't, you know, right there, we'll see. Much rather see Green Bay than obviously like a Dallas or especially nowadays right now San Fran. I want to see them have to go on the road for once. I mean, it seems like they've kind of had this home field thing going on for a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, Green Bay should have a very good season, barring anything crazy happening. And then we didn't even really talk about Josh Jacobs coming in for what's his name?
Jones.
Aaron Jones. Yeah, Aaron Jones. And I do like both those guys. I mean, I think both of them are capable. So it's not like you're taking an enormous step back. Maybe Josh Jacobs even goes hard, like goes ham on the Packers. He's finally on a team in contention, consistent team, like being in the Raiders. I mean, he literally had to carry that team on his back for a lot of those games. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. I root for that guy big time. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. And maybe Jordan Love's it. I mean, we've seen crazy. Maybe Jordan Love competes for the MVP. I wouldn't be shocked. I'll put it that way. I wouldn't be shocked.
The way we have the Packers sitting, I think he is in the MVP conversation. I think he has to be. I mean, if he's leading this Packers team first in the NFC North, potentially a one seed, like Jordan Love's got to have a good year for that. And I, like you said, I mean, Josh Jacobs coming in, you got a good running back out of USC there, and Marshawn Lloyd coming in, a fantastic running back. He's technically your number three, but he could transition up there. You keep Christian Watson healthy in that wide receiver core. That wide receiver core is very good. People forget. Like, they look at the DJ Moores and the Keenan Allens and the Justin Jeffersons and everything else. They forget about what this Packers receiver core did down the stretch last year. Like, they forget the Jaden Reeds of the world where this guy was going off. They just don't see the big numbers, right? Because when you looked at the Green Bay Packers, the lack of big numbers simply came from Jordan Love spreads the ball around, like one of the best quarterbacks out there. You know, like with Aaron Rodgers, it was Davante Adams this, Davante Adams that. Before that, it was Jordy Nelson this, Jordy Nelson that. Now you got Jordan Love, it's like, I'm going to spread it to my tight ends. Now I'm going to work back to my receivers. He's an all-around, all-over-the-field kind of quarterback, and I think that's kind of what separates out this team. Jared Goff's the same way with the Detroit Lions. I thought he shares the ball around very well up there. So, I mean, a lot of people forget about that wide receiver core for Green Bay. You look at the offensive line. They're returning a lot of talent on that offensive line, too. And on the defense, they got better. You look at McKinney coming in now. They got better just in that, right? You got Edrin Cooper there. You got him in the draft. He's, I mean, a phenomenal, the best linebacker in the draft. It's not really a huge boast if you look at the draft numbers, just simply because the linebackers weren't that good. But this guy gets all over the field, and man, can he get in the backfield. So I thought he was a great add. So, I mean, the Packers all the way around have a solid team. So we look at the standings. So I think, you know, the way that we kind of talked, we have the Packers up top. We have the Lions in that second spot. I'm going to lean towards the Bears finishing third in the division. I just think they have a favorable schedule to do it, and the Vikings finishing in fourth. But I do believe it's a close race in between that third and fourth spot there in the division. I don't know. Where are you leaning right now? If you looked at the standings, if you had to just predict, rub the magic eight ball real quick and just predict future-wise right now, where do you see this division landing here, top four teams?
Yeah, I got to go. Man, I mean, I like I said, I picked the Packers to win this division, so I do think the Packers come back. Win it. Detroit finishes second. I think that's like a lock to me. I mean, we've seen maybe Detroit wins the division. I don't see it, though. I really just don't see it this year. But after that, I think it's going to shock some people. I'm picking Minnesota to finish third. I just think with the receiving, like, I trust the receiving core more. I trust even the coaching staff more on Minnesota. I think Caleb Williams is going to miss some games because he's going to get hit around like a rag doll. And then the Bears, like Dennis Green would say from the Cardinals back in the day, the Bears are who we thought they were. Until they prove me otherwise, like ever since Lovie Smith they had that one year with Trubisky and I forget the freaking the coach's name anymore, but they had that one year that, you know, they were playoff bound. They might have won the division or something like that. They were good that year, but after that, I mean, you get one year out of, you know, how many horrible seasons. I just you got to show me. I know Bears fans are just so bullish right now, but I mean, more power to you, but I just don't see it. So I say Packers, Lions, Vikings, and then Bears. Maybe the, you know, Bears finish 7-10 or something, but it's just, I don't know. I was real quick. I don't want to go too long here, but I don't know if you've ever been on Packers Wire. It's like a USA Today thing.
I've seen it. Yep.
This guy, I mean, these four guys predicted their season records. Is that guy 11-6, Paul 12-5, Brandon Carlisle might be your worst enemy. I mean, he picked them to go 10-7, which would be, I don't see them losing seven games. I mean, maybe five games or something like that. But
I could see five. I just would love to see where a seven came in.
I'll have to send that over to you, but that's, I saw that. I was like, man, 10-7. I mean, you think of 10-7, that's not, I think they finished better than that. I would think. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that would be, I mean, that four-game stretch, I mean, maybe he has them losing all four games in that four-game stretch that we were talking about. I don't know. That's 10-7 would be that'd be a letdown. I mean, basically, that'd be a letdown for you in that one, because you're talking about the Packers are in a win now. Like, it's, you know, you don't want to say Super Bowl or bust because they're still young, but you almost say Super Bowl or bust kind of thing because we saw what they can do last season. Now it's like, okay, what can you replicate from that and put it into a full year and get yourself even deeper into the playoffs, right? So, I mean, I don't know. 10-7 would be pretty darn rough. I mean, I'm not – I tell you what, I just noticed one thing too. I'm not going to the Philadelphia Eagles game because tickets right now are as low as $1,159 to get into that game. I don't know if that's Brazilian money or not, but if that's U.S. dollars, you won't catch me at the game. I'll watch it on Peacock. I got to pay like freaking $10 for that. That's $10 I won't get back, but that's $1,000 that I won't get back for that one.
For a regular season. I mean, we're not talking NFC Championship or something. Like, yeah, that – I mean, I am curious to see that, but I'd be lying to you if I said I wish this game wasn't in, like, Philadelphia or something. Like, I get what the NFL is trying to do, but I don't know. It's just like how baseball started out, what they're in Japan or whatever. It's just like, sprinkle these games in, but like to have it opening kickoff, I get it. Like from a business standpoint, it makes sense. All the eyeballs, like all this attention into Brazil, all this traffic and revenue and all that crazy stuff. But if it was up to me, as far as just a viewing experience, I don't know. It's whatever. And then a lot of these Eagles, because it's technically a home game for us, so we lose a home game.
I'm glad.
That's a little stupid. That's like, come on, get over it. But it'll be cool. I mean, the fact that it's on Friday, I'm kind of cool with that. I don't hate that because it's like, I love how college football is on Saturday. I wish the NFL was more on Saturday. Sundays are kind of just like a drag. But yeah. For it to be on Friday, cool. I'm all for that. But Brazil, when they said that, I was like, man, that's different. That's for sure.
We'll have to get into the international stuff on a different note. We'll have to get in because we could talk about that all night long. Because I also hate international games. I really do. We could get it. We'll get to that. We'll get to that on another night. But hey, with that, I mean, we got long here. We got into all the division. We got to all the games, and it was a heck of a talk we had there. I mean, I got a lot out of it, I can tell you that. But we got Packers winning it all. That's all that matters. Packers winning it all. So before we end it here, I mean, where can the people find you? Where can they find you? Social media, everything like that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. You run a tight ship over here. I love it. But you can find me on Twitter at Brutally Honest. No T on that. Too long. So Brutally Honest on Twitter, Brutally Honest Sports Podcast on YouTube. I don't really use that, but Spotify, Brutally Honest Sports Podcast, Facebook, really Twitter. I use the most, but I upload all the shows, Apple Podcasts, all those other ones. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the other avenues you can find a podcast on, but I had a blast. Yeah. Love talking. We can talk another division. Probably won't be as fun for you because this is like your cream and cream of the crop. Your cup of tea here, but yeah, it was a good talk. I think we nailed it. Probably nailed that.
Oh yeah, we nailed it. We shot down the Bears fans before they get too high. That's all that matters. We shot them down. So with that, this has been Wisconsin Sports on the Go with Trage. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. But until I talk to you guys again tomorrow, deuces.
Yeah, oh my Lord, watch me sway. Darkness falls and we all pray, hoping for the light of day. Down to the river, I have held the devil's hand, felt the